we've kind of spent a little time together, which is kind of cool. Bless and Jesse got bear. They went hunting. They got both of them got bear. Cool. Good deal. Praise the Lord for that. So you guys got stuck with me. Sorry. Sorry. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we so humbly come before your precious throne of grace this morning. Father, we just want to just praise you, Father. We can't say that enough, that you are God and all that that entails. Father, we praise you. Father, just be with us as we come to this part of the service, that we just try to speak, say, and act the way you would call us to do. Father, because we want to be in your service. We want to do your will and your way. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody awake this morning? Doesn't sound like it. I bet you guys wouldn't act like that at a football game, would you? Easy. If you looked in your bulletin this morning, I was asked to preach a couple weeks ago. Pastor Nathan asked me if I preached, and it's been on my mind, prayer. And then in the title of the message, prayer. How do we do it? I bet if I talk to each and every one here, I bet we all have a little different way that we pray. Maybe a time, maybe a what we say, how we act. Or do we just get up in the morning and go, help? Huh? Is that what we do? Huh? We all have different ways of praying. And I wanted to, this is a disclaimer, this is not a fits-all prayer. Huh? No prayer fits everybody. When you talk to the Lord, prayer, the word for prayer, is that conversation you have between God and you. It's a conversation. It's not all one way. Okay? Got that? It's not all one way. We can talk. Sometimes you got to stop and listen. Huh? You guys heard about the little boy came screaming in the house. His mom, you know, little kid screaming, says, "There's a bear in the yard! There's a bear in the yard!" She looks out the window, there's a dog out there. She's like, "Don't ever do that to me again." She said, "You go upstairs. I want you to pray to Jesus and ask him to forgive you for lying. You go up and you think about this for a little bit." Little boy goes upstairs. A minute later, he comes back down. His mom says, "What are you doing? I thought I told you to go up and talk to Jesus and tell him you were sorry for lying." He goes, "I did. I talked to Jesus and he said it's okay, because the first time he saw that dog, he thought it was a bear too." Huh? Is that how we pray, though? You know, you think about it. Yeah, it's okay. I thought it was a bear, too. You know what I mean? We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. When you talk about prayer, there are so many ways to pray. There's so many things to pray for. There's all this stuff. In Matthew chapter 6, there's two times in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us how to pray. Do we all know the Lord's Prayer? What is that? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forget our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever." We all know that? All rehearsed that prayer? We studied that prayer? I bet you never studied it like I did. And I'm saying, I started looking at this prayer, and I thought, you notice when you read this, it's in Matthew chapter 6. And in chapter 6 here in Matthew, it starts in verse 9. It's also in Luke chapter 11. Verse 2, I think, starts in there. There's two places. Here in Matthew, we got the Sermon on the Mount. Christ is just telling his disciples how not to pray. Don't pray like these people. Don't just run your mouth. Don't get up there and just talk. Don't do that. That's what he's telling them. And it comes to this. In Luke, a disciple, it says it's in a... just in a place, and the disciple says, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And you start to look at this prayer. And I want to go through this prayer because it hit me what this prayer is. Do you see any I's or me's in this prayer? I'm asking a question. No. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray. There's no I. "No, Father, I need this. Father, I need that. Lord, please give me this." You don't see that in there, do you? There's nothing in there. There is no nouns that are singular. It's all plural. And I thought, you know, I never noticed that before. That's kind of cool. So why would Christ teach us to pray like that? There's going to be an example here. It comes down through. And I, I've got lots of notes. We could be here for a week. And I'm not kidding you. We could be here for a week. But I want to go through. I want to bring some things to light here. I want you to see some things. If we're going to pray to the Almighty God, there has to be some things that we have to know. First and foremost, what is the first and foremost thing you need to know if you're going to pray to God? You got to know that He is your God. That you are His child. What's that entail? Believing the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, right? Huh? What's it start out? What's the very first thing? Here in verse 9 it says, pray therefore like this. And we know pray, this word for pray means conversation between you and God. It says, pray like this. Our Father. It's not my Father. It's our. It almost seems to imply this prayer was, he was talking to a bunch of people, the disciples, maybe whoever else was there, I don't know. Doesn't really say. Could have been a huge group. But maybe that's why he said, our Father. I think what he's trying to say here is, we don't say, me, Lord, me. There's no I in team, right? But there's me in team, right? There's a me in team, if he's right. Huh? That's not what he's saying here. He says, pray like this, our Father. The Greek word for Father here is kind of cool because it entails everything. It's a nourisher. It's a protector. So when you pray, our Father. First thing, you have to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and God the Father. You can come boldly before the throne of grace because of what Jesus Christ did to you and I. Right? Okay, our Father. What's it say? Who art in heaven. So we're recognizing that God is in heaven, right? We've seen places in the Bible where it says that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, hell is talked more about in the Bible than heaven. What do you suppose that is? I was thinking about that. Why do you suppose that is? Obviously, because it's a bad place to go. It's a bad place to go. We're not made to be there. It's a bad place to go. But what do you... If there was a book in the Bible that talked about heaven, how awesome it's going to be. We go to Revelation, there's just a little teeny glimpse. This throne room, it's got these rainbow colors behind it. We've got a sea of solid glass. We've got pavement of gold. This gold is so pure, you can see through it. Huh? No more pain? No more hurt? Jump out of bed in the morning, yeah, I'm ready to go. Huh? Would you even think about looking right and left when you cross the road? I want to go to heaven. Would you do that? I think about that. If God would have put massive amounts of information about heaven in the Bible, we'd say, let me go there. Let's get in the bus and drive off a cliff. You see what I'm saying? It's that great. Father who's in heaven, hallowed. Wow. That's quite a word. You guys ever use this in everyday talking? Hallowed? No, you don't, do you? Hallowed be thy name. This word means to... I should have brought my reading glasses up here. This word means to sanctified, set apart, with the reflection of the name of all that God is. Really? So when we come to God, we say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed. What are we doing there? We're worshiping, right? So what's the first thing we do when we come to God in prayer? We worship Him. We acknowledge who He is. We give Him all the praise and all the glory. That's what we do. That's what he's talking about here. And it says, hallowed be your name. And this name is incorporated of all that he is. All that God consists of. His power, his authority, his strength, his ability. All that he is. Do you have an idea who God is? I don't. Because it says, Paul writes, you saw, I was caught up in the third heaven. Remember he wrote that? Caught up in the third heaven. So what is the third heaven? I'm really glad that he wrote that down because everybody has an idea of what heaven, where it's at. If you go outside today and look around, this is the first heaven. Look around. It's the air you breathe, it's the wind, it's all this stuff. go out tonight when it gets dark, that's the second heaven. All the dead cosmos, all that. Look at them stars. You ever sleep outside and just look up at the stars? And the more you look, the more you see. And the more you see, the more you see. You ever have that problem? It's awesome. Just the late. It's like you can just start seeing stars and stars and stars. And they say that some of them stars aren't there anymore. That they burned out. You're just not getting the light from them. What? Really? God made that. That's the second heaven. The third heaven is the abode of God. That's where He lives. Isn't that awesome? God abides in heaven. And we got looking at this. We keep going here because we're going to run way out of time probably. I'm sorry. And then in verse 10, it says, "Your kingdom come." You think the kingdom of God has came to earth yet? Watch the news. Just go watch the news. Huh? No. There's people killing one another. I mean, it's a madhouse out there, guys. God's kingdom has not come here. But it says, we're acknowledging the fact that we want God's kingdom to come to earth. We're acknowledging that fact. Thy kingdom come. And this next one, we kind of touched on this in Sunday school this morning. Matt brought this up. Your will be done. What's that mean? This is like, God, I need a truck, and I want a new one, and I want it now. That's what I want. That's my will. I want. Is that what we do? Is that what how we treat God? How we go to God? Say, I want it, and I want it now. Huh? Stubborn little things we are, anyway. Huh? This prayer, this is pretty deep, guys. I don't think we really, we say this, and we all know it. We repeat this so many thousands of times. It's part of us. But do you actually stop and think what you're saying? It says, your will, God. I want, do you pray that when you pray? God, your will be done. And then accept that will. Sometimes that's hard. Because sometimes His will ain't my will. When that person pulled out in front of me this morning away at church, I would have liked to have rammed him off the road. I really would have. I would have. I wouldn't do that. I don't know. You know what I mean? He's like, what's the matter with you? On the way to church to talk about praying. The Lord, forgive me for I sin. Yeah. So you think God maybe planned that little thing? I think He did. Because you know when you start looking at the Word of God, He starts bringing things to you and you understand what He's trying to say. So this will of God, we are going to accept your will, whatever that is. Wow. And what's it say? On earth as it is in heaven. Do you think God sits up there fiddling His holy hands, worrying about what we're going to do? Them guys down there, they really messed those up. You ever, he's just sitting up there in heaven, just nervous wreck. You ever think of that, God? No! He knows what His will is going to be. He knows how it's going to work out. You understand that we were predestined before the foundation of the world? So wait a minute, Matt. Why do we even pray then? If God knows what we're going to do, why do I pray? Because I can just sit back and say, yeah, great, I like it. Do it, Lord, whatever you got to do. Is that what we do? No. God wants you to get involved in what He's doing. When you start praying to Him, you start saying, Father, your will be done. I'm ready to do it. What do you want me to do? You want me to run, jump off that? You just tell me. You know what I'm saying? You want me to eat peanut butter up here while I'm trying to talk? I'll do it. Whatever your will is, Lord, I will do it. Are we that dedicated? Are we that ready to go? Are we good and ready to go for Christ? We are here. And then we go out them doors and it's like, people think I'm a crazy lunatic. I may end up in an insane asylum. And I might someday. You never know. It will be done. God wants you to talk to Him in conversation to get you involved in what He's doing. And then you can be that blessing. You can be the one that goes out there and does something that He needs done. Huh? You can be that blessing. Let's go on. Kingdom come, your will be done on earth, it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Does anybody here not eat? Everybody eats, right? It's interesting when you start looking at these words in the Greek. It says, give us this day our daily bread. The word for bread is bread. But this word for bread is actually moxie. It's actually the bread that was used at the holiest of holies, in the holiest of holies. This is the bread. This is the essentials. This word incorporates everything that makes you good to go for the day. I got to drink a Mountain Dew. I got to drink some coffee. I got to eat some Danish in the morning. I got to get some eggs going. I got to get a sandwich for dinner. I got to get steak and eggs for supper. I'm doing all this stuff. It incorporates all that. Some of that's probably not good for you. Just say. Some of that's probably not good for you. But that's what this word bread, and the word daily here, incorporates into everything that's coming for today and for tomorrow. What? You mean Christ said don't be anxious for tomorrow? For the troubles of tomorrow are good enough for that? Don't get anxious about tomorrow because it's got its own trouble of its own. You got enough energy burned up today burning with the troubles you got. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's saying here, you know what? Give us this day, Lord, the essentials for my nutrition day by day for today and tomorrow that I can work, I can have strength, I can do what you want me to do. Our daily bread. You ever think about it that way? Do we actually pray to God for our daily bread? I go down to Walmart and buy some. Isn't that what we do? I go down to Walmart. That's a great place. They got all kinds of cool stuff down there. You can eat pretty good down there. They even have a slogan. What is it? Live better for less or whatever? Yeah, that's a great place. So we don't have to go, God, I don't need you today for bread because I'm going to Walmart and get me some. Is that how we act? It is. That's how we act. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, now we come to verse 12. This is, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Does anybody's version of that read, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us? Anybody ever read that version of it? This word for debt is a legal term. This debt is something that needed to be paid, and in this time, by persecution. Ooh, really? This debt, it says, forgive us our debts. This debt is something that needed to be paid, a cost, persecuting cost, and we're asking God to forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. The reason this can be transported as sins or debts, because who died for you and my sin? Who paid the cost? If what's the national debt now? $17 trillion? Anybody ever see that kind of money? Have you ever tried to visualize what that kind of money would look like? I don't even know what I bet $1 trillion wouldn't even fit in this building. I don't know. That's a lot of money. Because of our sins, you individually owe God $17 trillion. There's no way you can make that much in a lifetime. 20 lifetimes, 30 lifetimes, 40 lifetimes. You can't make that much money. You cannot do that. I don't care who you are. Bill Gates, go for it, brother. You ain't going to make it. Trillions. And God says, you know what? I'm going to send my son. My only son. I'm going to put him on a cross. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to put a crown of thorns on his head and imagine on his head. I'm going to just beat him for you. I'm going to persecute my own son for everything you did, are going to do, and have done in the past. Everything, it's all. I'm going to send my son to die on that cross. He is going to take the blame for you. Whoa. That's what this is implying. Father, forgive us our debts because we know you sent your son to die on that cross and paid a debt so awesome that I couldn't. I praise you for that. And then what's the second part of that say? I like the Amplified here. It says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven. This word for forgiven means left behind. Does somebody owe you something? Somebody done something to you? That guy pulled out in front of me this morning. You wait, I see him. He did see that. Yeah, me and him. Is that how we act? Is that what's all? Is that what he said? This forgiven means leave it. It's done. done?
Over with? It's back there? It's something else that I don't have to worry about. It's something I don't even want to think about. It's something I have forgiven.
I have confessed it as sin before God that I said, "You idiot, what are you doing?" Because I didn't go, huh? You ever try keeping that thing shut? Can't do it. You can't do it. That thing's got to run, it's got to run, all the time. I bet when you're sleeping, I think, I bet it is. I bet you pried your mouth open tonight when you sleep. I bet your tongue's just going. It can't shut up. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I know He's faithful and has. So I left that behind. I leave it behind. I keep moving. And then what's it say? Forgive as we forgive our debtors. This word for debtors, I had to chuckle when I read this because it is forgiveness of something that someone possibly might do to you in the future. What? You mean Doug might call me a bad name and I got to forgive him for it? Maybe if it's a month from now? Forgive it.
If you read on here,
what is it? In verse 15, 14, we might as well read this. I want to read you verse 14 and 15. It ties in awesomely with this. It says, "For if you forgive people their trespasses, I'm going to read the Amplified, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up the resentment, you have any resentment? Your Heavenly Father will also forgive you." You mean I got to forgive that idiot in that car? Yeah, because it says the Father in heaven will forgive you. Verse 15, but, you know when there's a but, it's always a 180. It's the other end of this. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up your resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. You know what that's saying? If I can't forgive somebody, God can't forgive me. Do you know how many thousands of people, millions of people are walking around with resentment and hatred for something that somebody did 20, 30, 50, 80 years ago, and they're holding on to it like it's a dog with a bone. It ain't going nowhere. I hate that guy. He's never going to talk to me again. You know how many people are like that? Go walk around. You'll find a lot of them. And they will not let it go. My Bible tells me, you know, if you don't forgive others, God can't forgive you. Wow. How tough is that? That hits home. That hits home. Let's keep going. It only gets deeper. It gets better. What's it say? Verse 13 says, "And lead us, bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And lead us not into temptation. What is this temptation? God doesn't tempt anybody, right? Isn't it something if we want to pray this? Have you ever prayed this before? God, don't lead me into temptation. What is your temptation? I bet Satan knows. I bet he knows what your temptation is. What is it? Boy, if I don't eat one more donuts, nobody will know. What's your temptation? Doctor says my cholesterol is really high, but one donut, he'll never know. Huh? That's a little temptation, isn't it? That's what it is. These temptations come at us in different forms, though, because we can get tempted by lots of things. And only you know what that temptation is. And Satan knows. And he's going to use that. And this prayer is saying, God, don't lead us into temptation. Protect me. I'm not going to be stupid enough to say, Father, I'm strong enough to bring anything you got to come on me. Bring it on. Bring it on. Hear them, guys? Sports. Bring it on. Come on, bring it. Really? Dude? You want to get beat up? Really? Huh? Really? Bring it on. No. I want to be humble enough to say, Father, I know that I am not strong enough on my own to stand against the things that come against me, and I'm asking you to keep me from it. When them donuts come in, I walk the other way. Sometimes you got to walk away from stuff. If you're in a situation, it's like, that's been a problem before. I'm not going to go there. you got to be smart enough to say, man, I'm going a different direction. This is the trouble with people with alcoholics, drug addictions, that kind of thing. You know, you just don't know. You don't know. And it just catches you on a day when you're weak. Weak. And what's it say here? And deliver us from the evil one. Wow. This ties together because Satan is the one that's going to... You know, when you look at Job, poor old Job. I've had people tell me they're in a situation and they're down, they're having a lot of trouble. I said, pray for it. No, don't pray for me. I'm like Job. I'm suffering on. Like, suffer on, brother. Suffer on. Really? Job's suffering came to an end. Did it not? He went through a lot of stuff. He had three friends that were just a bunch of idiots. They were idiots. They weren't helpful. The best thing they did is sit for 7 days and kept their mouth shut. That's the best thing they did for him. It is. Because this is Job, it's something you did. You screwed up, brother. You did something. You're not telling us something you did. There's something you did and we don't know about it. God knows. That's why you're in trouble. No. But Job's suffering came to an end. So if you're suffering, you're going to tell me, I'm like Job, I'm suffering under it. Then it's going to come to an end, isn't it? Got to. Last part of this prayer. Some manuscripts delete this. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Of the 500 manuscripts that I looked at, only 8 delete that. You know that? Of the 500, only 8 delete that. And I like it in there because it says, for yours is the kingdom. It's God giving you glory. We're worshiping you. For yours is the kingdom and yours is the power because you got the power of all powers. You're the God of all gods. You're the man. He's the man. Forever and ever. Isn't that cool? When you pray that prayer, be thinking about this. There's no lie in there. So if I'm going to be praying that prayer, I'm going to be praying this for Dougie. I'm going to be praying this for Patsy. I'm going to be praying this for Lindsay. I'm going to pray in this prayer for us as a group. Not just me. God, bless me, Lord, bless me. You know, Lord, you know me, bless me. No, bless us. Bless us that we can be a blessing to others. True story. I want to leave you with this. True story. A young woman was ashamed of her mother. Didn't really want anything to do with her mother. It wasn't because of anything her mother had done. She never brought any of her friends over. Never went in public with her mother. And the reason she didn't, because she had a hideous scar on her face. It was ugly. It was nasty. People stared. It was just a bad scar. And her mother asked her about it one day. And she said, I want to tell you about this scar. Her mother's going to tell her daughter about the scar. She said, when you were a baby, you're in your crib in the house. I went out to set the laundry out, putting it out on the line. And she said, something happened in the house and it caught on fire. I don't know what, something caught on fire. So she's out putting the laundry up and happened to look behind her and there's flames coming out the windows and smoke. Her daughter was in there, baby. She ran in that house, went in the room, grabbed the baby out of the crib, headed for the door when one of the timbers falls and hit her in the face. She actually threw her baby out the door to save her life. The mother sacrificed herself for looks for her daughter. Let me ask you a question. How many man-made scars are going to be in heaven? Yeah, there's going to be some. Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is going to wear them scars. His hand, His feet. He's going to have that scar on His side. He's going to have them nail prints on His head. Because you know what? There's no way Satan's ever going to be able to say, you didn't do it. You didn't do it. Because I got the proof right here. So when you go out in public, are you like that girl? Shame. Take her mother with her because people would stare. That person is going to say, you know what? Because of what you did on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what you did on that cross, not ashamed of your scars. I'm going to take you with me. And I'm going to show you to others that they can know who you are. That makes you think, doesn't it? I heard that story. It made me think. Let's give a little prayer this morning, guys. Father, we humbly come before your precious throne. Father, we come before you boldly, Father, as your children, knowing that you are God. And the only reason we have a breath in our lungs and a heartbeat in our chest is because you allow it. Father, we come humbly before you, knowing boldly that you are God. You're the Father of all. You created all. With the word of your mouth, you created what we stand on, what we look at, what we see, what we feel, what we touch. You just spoke it into existence. That's power. Father, we can come before your throne. Your eyes are upon us. Your ears are attentive to what we're saying. And Father, we're humbly coming before your throne this morning. Father, we're looking to you for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, for healing, for power, for strength, for the words to say, the actions to do, the blessing to be for anyone that comes in our path. And Father, I ask a special blessing upon each and every one here that they would get a grasp of who you are and feel your power and feel your strength and feel who you are in their life, that they could just jump and leap power and strength, knowing you're God. And when the last breath is in our lungs, that we will be face to face, bent on bended knee before the God and Creator of all. Father, we just praise you. We thank you for this time that we can just come and look to you and just look at you, because you are awesome. You are God. In your precious name.